Welcome to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. This is where we get back to basics, examining the Word of God, focusing on the Book of Acts Church, taking a deeper look into how the early church served the Lord, and restoring the priesthood of the believer and regaining that world-shaking influence the early church had. And we do that by digging deeper, not watering it down, taking the Word as it is, not changing it, and finding the power and the passion the Book of Acts Church had and regaining and recreating the church that the Lord wanted. I do not believe the man-made tradition, denomination-based church that we have today is of the Lord. That was total off the top of my head and off the tip of my tongue, obviously. I'm passionate about this. I've been working on this and praying and thinking because I know the church age is still in effect. I know the fire is still falling. And we're going to go out there and we're going to do something with it. And that's where we're on part 15 of Walking in the Spirit. Talking about the spiritual guidelines that help us to apply the gifts and ensure their proper use in the kingdom of God. We can't get to the power until we know what to do and how to do it. Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. Go to onsolomonsporch.org if you'd like to contact us. Or go to firefalltalkradio.com and you can find ways to support us there. We're on Facebook, Firefall Media Group. The main entity behind it all is there and you can donate and support us, support what we do. We appreciate everyone that does. Our main site is Spreaker. Firefall Talk Radio is the username. We are also on BlogTunes, the old Blog Talk, the Blog Talk Radio. I'm just all over the place. Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and we are also on Spotify. Yes, we're finally on Spotify, so welcome to all of our listeners. Welcome to being a part of the Porch community. The meeting in Orlando, Saturday, July 27th, final stages. It's down to two hotels. I've got to go look at them, lock them in, and then you'll be able to book your rooms and make your plans. You can come in on Friday. You have time to play. It'll be in an area where there's plenty of things to do. Parks are nearby, restaurants, all the different attractions, and a great room rate. And then on Saturday, we'll have the event, and then Sunday, you'll have time to play again before you leave town. Or you may be on vacation. It's the week. You'll have another week before school, so maybe you'll stay. I don't know. But once we have that all locked in, you can begin to get your tickets. Well, I praise the Lord for my home, for my wife, for my family, our furry kids, everything we have. I praise Him for my sons and daughter-in-laws. Of course, I praise Him for my grandson. What a blessing he is. For the protection that the Lord gives us, that Psalm 91 covering over all of us, this ministry that He lets me work. It's His ministry. It's not mine. I praise Him for the dreams and the visions and the things He's been showing me all these years that are beginning to come into place and beginning to happen. I praise Him for the healing virtues that He's given each and every one of us, and that we are moving forward by faith. We are doing things by faith, and we are being healed, even as I speak, by faith. I praise Him for the ability to praise Him and being a new creation, living in these exciting and prophetic times. If you look at it with natural eyes, it may beat you down. But when you see them with spiritual eyes, you realize He's getting ready to return, and that is exciting. Until then, we got to pray. And I pray for the Middle East, for Israel, the peace of Jerusalem, which means the Prince of Peace returns. Watch what's going on in the Middle East. Israel's about to have an election. If it doesn't go a particular way, then we will be off to the races, and you'll see the domino begin to fall, and you better watch the sky. So watch the signs of the times, discern them, understand them. Pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents in and out of the womb, the victims of injustice. We live in an unjust world. We don't have a justice system. We have a legal system. It's not even due process anymore. It's corrupted. It's perverted. It's not what it should be. So we need to trust in the Lord in every area. Pray for our brothers and sisters around the world being persecuted and slaughtered for their faith, churches being burned down, homes being burned down. They are being attacked and they refuse to recant. They refuse to turn their back on Yeshua, on Jesus. And continue to intercede for the murder of babies. Some call it abortion, I call it murder. Now many states are allowing you to kill that baby even once it's out of the womb. Even if the abortion fails, they won't do anything to save it. I'm praying about the religious persecution and the anti-Semitism. I'm praying for my Jewish brothers and sisters. First of all, I'm praying that they find Yeshua, they find HaMashiach, the Messiah, become complete. I'm praying for the victims of sex trafficking, human slavery, the ugliness of that which is in the news every day now. Praying for divine wholeness, health, healing, me and you and my family and each and every one of us getting back to our divine design, being a living witness to the healing power of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. If you're sick right now, be healed. If you're broken, be whole. If whatever your need is in the name of Yeshua, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the promises in his word, receive them. Believe them and receive them. I'm praying for the remnant. I don't believe the church is going to change. I don't believe the church is going to wake up. I just don't. I believe it's a remnant that's going to wake up. I believe it's a smaller part of the bolt, the leftover part of the original bolt of material that's going to wind up doing the job. I believe the church at large, when the spiritual stuff hits the fan, they're going to be shocked. They're going to run. They're not going to know what to do. But there are those of us, the outcasts, the misfits, those that have refused to compromise and fit in, that will be ready. So let's rise up. Let's answer the call to action. Let those who are blessed be a blessing. Let the blessings flow. Let them come into our possession for the purpose of the kingdom, that we can prosper in accordance with his word, not for ourselves, not for personal gain, but for building the kingdom of God. The documentary, we're going back to Atchison, Kansas, end of the month. Be praying for us. Start to intercede now. The enemy is very active. A lot of the interviews and additional people I was going back to speak to are afraid to suddenly speak to me. I believe that's the enemy. I believe that the powers of that town, the powers that be, both natural and supernatural, are trying to dissuade this. Well, pray for a clear path. Pray for doors to open. Pray for the truth to be told. Deb, here in Orlando, which just happens to be my wife, praise report is in a really great one. Her best friend, 15-year-old dog, Chihuahua, named Lola. She was a sugar. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't help that. Her name is Lola. She went missing yesterday. And Deb says, I've known her since she was 12 weeks old. And they couldn't find her. So she prayed last night, felt impressed to go to the shelter today. She said it felt strongly, which is why I knew it was God. And sure enough, in Kennel 55, there she was, waiting. She went crazy when she saw me and knew she was found. She and her mama are back together safe and sound. And she said, so grateful he answers prayers, even about a dog. Sometimes he has to remind us he watches over the sparrow, so I know he watches over me. Continue to pray for healing and restoration. And we've got an unspoken prayer request, very important. Please bring it before the Lord. Nick in Dallas, haven't heard from him in a while, has a prayer request for his sister. She's having difficulties with her pancreas. He's requesting healing in her body. If it's an attack of the enemy, for the spirits to be leave, to leave, and for her to be healed and whole, asking for the Lord to post his warring angels around her, her husband, kids, and her property. In Jesus' name, amen. Stacy in Texas, thankful for my family, furry kids, like-minded believers in my life. Continue to pray for me and my family, for our house in Fort Mitchell to rent. It's officially up for rent now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, bring the person for that house that you desire to be there that will rent that house, and they will be blessed. We continue, said, please pray for us to find a home here, the apartment we're in. A lot of maintenance issues. Air conditioning doesn't work properly, leaky dryer vent, mold, and the like. Please continue to pray for salvation, healing, and deliverance with my family, within my family. She said her VA claim has been delayed. Oh, what a shock, government delaying things. But we will continue to pray for it to come through. She said, may we all continue to be blessed with wisdom and courage until the Prince of the Peace of Jerusalem prevails in Yeshua's name. Kim in Fort Mitchell. Woke up sober today, and I know who saved my soul, and I'm grateful for that. Sometimes that's all I see, but it's also an important thing I need to remember. I am blessed to have such wonderful children, blessed to be a part of this fellowship here. We've been under attack, and it's taking a toll on me, but again, I know who saved my soul. I find comfort in that. Father, please provide for my family and I. Give me patience. Save my mother and husband's soul. Deliver my children and I. Bless us. Favor us. I said, Father, my heart hurts to see all this pain. The crimes committed against innocents like children and animals. The deception created by the enemy that all of this is okay. That we should be open-minded. Father, deliver us. Give us compassion for each other. Less judgment. I have two unspoken prayer requests as well. Father, bless and favor my friend Stacy, SRT, and all the families represented here. Said, I cannot wait to meet some of you in July. Father, protect our families in Jesus' name. So, Father, right now, you heard us, you know. Had some really good prayer times today with you, Lord, leading up to this moment. We just come to you as our Father. We say, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, you know what we need. You know our needs. And we believe by faith that you are more than able to meet those needs. So we receive your blessings. We receive the promises into our life. We believe that you are as good as your word. Clear our minds, fix our hearts, fix our wounds. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you did on Calvary. We thank you for enduring the pain, the shame, every drop of blood, washing away our sins, reconciling us to the Father, restoring us in the right relationship into the family of God. We thank you for washing away our sins and that we will spend eternity with you. We thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Encourager, the Counselor. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to be with us tonight. Open our hearts and our minds. Touch us. Reveal Yeshua to us. Our Lord, we bind the enemy in every way, shape, and form. We take our thoughts captive. And we sit here right now, Lord, wherever we are listening, ready to receive, ready to be empowered, ready to be turned loose, to walk in the Spirit. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented, is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we're still talking about walking in the Spirit, and I believe the Lord is preparing us. As I've watched each week grow and watched each lesson build upon the last lesson, I see the Lord. I finally see what he's been doing. I don't do series that run this long. I just don't. But he's doing it. He's in control. And this is what he wants us to understand, to walk in the Spirit, to use the power and everything he's given us. We have to understand more. You just can't pick up a gun and start firing or pick up the sharpest sword and start swinging. You're more than likely going to hurt yourself or an innocent person. We really need to understand the guidelines of the use of his power, the creative power of the universe. So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as individually as he wills. It's all about service to and for the kingdom of God. There's nothing selfish or self-seeking about it. Pentecost was a transformational event. He transformed us so that we could transform the world. He gave us divine power to alter and renovate people from the inside out. He gave us the ability to destroy the works of HaSatan, Satan and the fallen and the kingdom of darkness. But somewhere along the way, through deceit and assimilating to the world and becoming like the world, instead of transforming the world, we, the church, conformed to the world. And that's exactly what Satan wanted. He knew he couldn't defeat the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew he could not defeat a church that moved in the fullness of the power. He couldn't stop the Book of Acts church. He couldn't stop the thousands of people getting saved. He couldn't stop the signs and wonders. So he had to figure out a way to co-opt it. He had to figure out a way to cut off the access. And he did it through religion. He did it through a lot of different things that I don't have time to go into, but we've talked about before. But the Lord told the disciples in Acts 1:8, and I believe he told them and he's speaking to us, "But you shall receive power, dunamis, the ability, the efficiency, and the might. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth." What he was saying is the Holy Spirit was going to fill them with this ability and efficiency and explosive, self-replicating, dynamic power, so that we could be his witnesses to a lost and dying world. But see, instead they wanted to know about when are you coming back, when are you restoring the kingdom, and what he's saying is, wait a second, I've got a job for you to do, and I am empowering you to build this kingdom. This power, this dunamis, this reproducing power, it doesn't go out. The fire doesn't go out. This was a new power that had not been given to man like this before. It was the fulfillment of prophecy to take the gospel, the good news, to the ends of the earth. If you remember last week, I talked about Adam Clark's commentary where he says the disciples were instruments in the establishment of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Messiah. They were energized by the Holy Spirit, sent down from the throne room in heaven. And it was given to them in times and seasons and in measures as the Spirit decided, according to the wisdom of God. We're too caught up in other things. We're too caught up in times and dates when we should just concentrate on the job. If you do the job, the rest will happen. In the Book of Acts church, they had no backing. They had no building. They had no corporate structure, but they had a calling and they had the power and they had the passion. And they went out and did it with complete confidence that the Lord was with them and that he would help them. Because it was the Holy Spirit that established the church, which is us, not a building, not a denomination, not an organization. It's us. And we are empowered inside out. But he oversees it. He decides who, what, where, and when. He's the how. And he reminds us of why. Why did he do this? Why is this happening? To empower us to fulfill the Great Commission. That is the only call that we need to answer. The call to go. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the end of the earth. Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, Matthew 16:15, go into all the world, preach and publish the openly the good news of the gospel to every creature, the whole human race. Go, preach, heal, do. Go under his authority. Go to where I tell you to go. Do it as I show you to do it. The problem the church has gotten into is we have too many cooks in the kitchen. We got too many hands in the pot. Literally. We need to get back to basics. We need to pare things down. And we saw the preview of this authority when he first released the disciples to preach. If you remember in Matthew 10:1, he calls them together, gives them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Later on, verses 7 and 8, he says to them, as you go, now listen to this, as you go, preach, proclaim, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, if you look at that statement, the reason he gave them the ability to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons was because what? It was the manifestation, it was the explanation, it was the confirmation that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He gave them power of physical and spiritual change to help transition us into a new kingdom. Those words, go, therefore, is a dispensation of his authority that the Great Commission is done under his power. He has authority over all things. Teach them to observe all the things whatsoever I commanded you, Matthew 28:20. So what are we teaching them? Well, if you've ever sat in classes in major churches or denominations, you know what they're teaching you? They're teaching you about the denomination, the history of the church. They're teaching you about man-made things. I didn't want to know that. I got to be honest with you. Thankfully, the first couple of years of my walk, I was still in New York going back and forth, spending every day with the Holy Spirit, letting the Spirit teach me. There was no corruption. There was no influence in what the Lord showed me. It was like my time in Sinai. It was my time in the desert. And then I went down to Tallahassee and studied under Shelley and did that walk. But by the time I got there, it had a foundation. I was far beyond where most people would have been at that. I was reading 4 books a week. And I was understanding them. And I was applying them. And I was going to the Christian bookstore in Manhattan every week, getting new books and consuming them. I wanted to know how to do what it was he wanted me to do. It wasn't until religion came in. It wasn't until people started to control and tried to change me that things went wrong. Maturity will happen on its own. When you look at a baby as we do, my grandson, he's growing by leaps and bounds. He's doing new things. He's almost standing on his own, but he doesn't have the core muscle structure yet. He doesn't have the ability yet, but most people would look at him and say, oh, he can walk, just let him go. He would fall down and hurt himself. So he's not where he needs to be, but he's getting there at a natural pace. We need to do that with people. Stop force feeding them. Oh, you need to learn this. You need to be doing this. The Spirit is the best teacher that there is. And he is teaching us to help other people to understand how to walk this walk, learning and doing what the disciples did, what Yeshua did. Building a foundation upon this building that we are a part of, to honor him and to reveal him and to not disappoint him. Go with me to Ephesians 4, starting with verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Now, most people would build an entire teaching over that, finding your calling. Well, your calling is to do what? To go and preach the gospel. get people saved, healed, and delivered. Make them disciples. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Messiah. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led captivity captive, led a crowd of captives, and gave gifts to the people. Now, basically what that is, stopping verse 8, when a conquering king came back, he would be dragging the captives with him and taking the spoil that he had captured and giving gifts to the people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Messiah also descended to our lowly world, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Verse 11, now these are the gifts Messiah gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to go do his work and build up the church, the body of Messiah. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Messiah. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Messiah, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, he helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You know, I've been studying something that I'm probably going to write on either a blog or release a little video about. But the drive in the church for specialization. Well, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a watchman, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, we need to stop all that. We have to stop it. Somebody asked me recently, well, you know, I'm so-and-so and this is what my calling is, what's yours? I said, first of all, if the Spirit wants you to know who I am and what I do, it will tell you, but the only calling I have is to go get people saved, healed, and delivered. Well, wait a second, you have a deliverance ministry. I said, no, and don't ever say that again. I have a Jesus ministry. I have a Yeshua ministry, and one part of that is casting out demons. There is no specialization. There are no categories. We don't see that in the Bible. We see offices that certain people fulfill for the sake of the building and the edification of the body. But we are all part of one body. No one organ is exalted over another. Well, brother, the brain and the heart are the most important. Yeah, well, what happens if your kidneys and your liver start malfunctioning? Eventually, the rest of the body dies. If each part doesn't do its part, the body does not function. So all the gifts, all the power, everything is to glorify the Lord, to prepare for his return as one single unit, no one person more special than another. The Holy Spirit, by Charles Ryrie, says the Greek word for spiritual gift is charisma. It is related to the word grace. Charis means grace. It's a spiritual gift due to grace. It's unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. He gave it to you. The use of the word in the New Testament ranges from referring to the gift of salvation in Romans 6:23 to the gift of God's providential care, 2 Corinthians 1:11, but most frequently it is used of the special grace gifts or abilities given to men by the risen Lord and the Holy Spirit. And the reason I am harping on this, because I've been at this for a while, I've seen the excess, I've seen the error, I've seen all the things the enemy has used to cause and create damage. The gifts are for him, to glorify him, and for the sake of his kingdom. No other reason. The gift is not a place of service. It's an ability. not where the ability is exercised. It can be used anywhere. There's no limitation to locations. We need to remember that. We need to remember that we are not limited by anything except ourselves. It is not confused with an office. Just because you have a spiritual gift doesn't mean you have an office. There are people who can prophesy, but they are not prophets. So the gift is the ability exercised whether one holds an office in a local church or not. And it's not based upon age. There is no, and I like this, this is also from Charles Ryrie. Spiritual gift is not a particular age group ministry. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. There is no spiritual gift of young people's work or children's work. If there were, there would be a gift of old people's work, a gift I've never heard anyone claim to have. Children, young people, young and old, all need to benefit from the exercising of the gifts of the pastor, teacher, helping and administrating, and so on. We specialize. We send our kids off so they're not a disruption. We send them to the nursery or to children's church where they, for the most part, are just entertained to keep them busy. When we had the home church, so I was drinking water and tried to talk, which means my career as a ventriloquist is over. I don't know what that means. When we had the home church, the children were there. People brought children. They were right there. And it was the responsibility of the parents to try to keep them under control. And if it got too bad, they took them outside or to the back of the room or whatever. But the word does not return void. And they hear the word, like you hear my dogs barking. They hear the word goes in, and it will grow. The seed will be planted. We need to stop specializing, which is why I'm not a deliverance minister. I never was. Yes, I did more than most, and that was an area that God used me in, but I teach. I oversee. I lay hands. I heal. Pretty much I do many of them because that's how the Spirit uses me. But my one ministry is I am a minister of the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. No techniques, no speciality, no labels, no name tags. Paul had to deal with that in Corinth. And this is a pet peeve. I've been dealing with a pet peeve that every time I go to write something or create something, it comes off a little harsh because I see what damage it's done to the body and how the enemy has used it. If we could ever put aside all the labels, all the tags, all the names, all the stages, if we could ever find what they had at the beginning, oh, we would rock and roll and destroy the enemy. We'd roll right over the top of them, and that's what I'm trying to do. That's what the porch is all about. 1 Corinthians 4:6-7, dear brothers and sisters, I have used Apollos and myself to illustrate what I've been saying. If you pay attention to what I've quoted from scriptures, you won't be proud of one of your teachers at the expense of another. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as if it were not a gift? See, what was happening was one person said, well, I studied under Paul. Well, I've studied under Paul. And they began to attach themselves to names. And they created, the enemy is brilliant. He is so brilliant when you see what he's doing. And I was guilty of it. I had to be broken from it. The Lord had to do certain very uncomfortable things to break me from it. Superstar Christianity has no place. No place in the kingdom of God. If he's given you a gift, it's an ability given to you by a spirit. It's not about a place, not about an office. It's not about a ministry. It's totally and completely about the Lord, what the Spirit wants you to do. Now, you do have a part in developing them. You do have to have discipline in studying the word and praying and applying it and go out and using it, making mistakes, learning from those mistakes. but the ultimate source of everything we've been talking about for 15 weeks is God. It's your Heavenly Father. He knows what's best for his body, and he knows what gifts fit best with what believer. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, "For I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that." Why do we keep trying to replicate people? We keep trying to make people like someone else. We can't do that. We are each unique, and our calling, our call to action, what he wants us to do in the calling of God, will have something to do, I believe, with what we got saved from or what we have experiential knowledge and compassion for, which is why mine began ministering to other people like me, caught from in the occult and needing deliverance. But then it grew from there. It expanded from there. But see, I had a personal, compassionate knowledge of what they were going through, and that's what inspired me. If we would understand that, there'd be no complaining, there'd be no jealousy, there'd be no schisms, there'd be no need for denominations, there'd be no need for all the things that we've created to elevate man to positions they were never supposed to be elevated to. Each gift has been given to us to minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Is that word grace and charisma the same word? That was 1 Peter 4:10. I believe that's why the Book of Acts Church was so effective. Yes, they met in the homes. Yes, the apostles went from town to town. Maybe they stayed there for a while and they got things started, but then they moved on. Leaders would rise up, and then they would teach and train other leaders who would go to another home, and it would, like a cell, it would just keep splitting off and splitting off. There was no stars, there was no names, no none of the stuff that messes it all up today. We're here to minister to the lost and minister to one another, trusting that he knows what we need and who needs to share it, who needs to receive it. And so what has happened in the gifts of the Spirit, especially within the part of the body that moves in the gifts, because there is entire sections of the body that believe the gifts no longer apply, they no longer move, and anyone who moves in them is satanically inspired. Somebody actually accused me of that recently. And I wanted to just fire off the scripture. Be careful, because if I am of the Lord, you just committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit by trying to say my gifts and what I do for the kingdom of God is demonic. But that's between them and God. But here's the pendulum mindset about the gifts. The extreme side, one: the gifts and their need for the gifts ended when the last apostle died, because the church was established and the gifts were only there for the building of the church, and it's irrelevant to the church of today. Well, unfortunately, the Bible refutes that mindset, because if the gifts were given to the early church only, then why do they appear in the books of the New Testament that were clearly written to a second generation of believers, and to believers scattered throughout the Roman Empire? Little problem with that thinking. Paul states very clearly in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13, that the purposes of the gifts are for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Messiah. Well, if the body was built and completely done, then the gifts would have ceased, but they didn't. They continued to be used, and they are being used today. But let's just break it down to much more simple things. Elders are required to teach, according to 1 Timothy 3:2. So how do they do that if the gift of teaching is no longer given? Gift of faith, is that gone? No, it's only the power gifts that the enemy has tricked them. Well, there are no more healings. There's no tongues. There's no casting out of demons. That was then. This is now. You want to know why the world is in the mess it's in and the church is as messed up as it is? There you go. But then there's another side to the swing of the pendulum. So follow with me here as we swing to the other side. And the other side is an overemphasis on the gifts, seeking them, promoting them, selling them from man-made teachings or human affirmations and putting them out of order in their importance. I've seen it. I've never been a part of it. I always spotted it. But even more so now, after all these years of walking with the Lord and doing what I do and teaching on the porch, I've come to understand where the middle is. The middle is where the Lord placed them. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink up anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. They went out everywhere and preached. And the Lord confirmed the word that they was preaching through miraculous signs and wonders. Why? Church is told to go, to preach, to save, to baptize. The going out in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus of Nazareth, as the Messiah, as the crucified Lamb of God. If there are no signs and wonders, they're just another group of itinerant preachers. But when the signs of the Messiah follow them, he confirms his word with those miraculous signs and wonders. There is an order to everything in the kingdom of God, and here it is. Signs and wonders follow the word to confirm the word. They don't act on their own. They follow the word because he's confirming himself with the signs. Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and the gifts of the Spirit according to his own will. What is he bearing witness to? The message that Jesus is his son, the message of salvation, the message of restoration. The middle ground between the two pendulums is what I just described to you. The word is preached. Miracles happen. That's it. It's really that simple. And all of these groups and all of these organizations and all of these man-made entities, that all they do are signs and wonders. No word is preached. No salvations are happening. Be careful. Be careful. The Holy Spirit is sovereign in bestowing his gifts. They are apportioned. They are allocated according to his will, which we know is the will of God. So we can seek the best gifts, but he is the only one who knows what we need in a particular situation, which means they remain under his power. He may allocate it for a brief ministry, for a single manifestation, maybe just for a particular gathering or assembling of people. But here's what it comes down to, and this is where I've been really dwelling on today. I've had a lot of time to pray. It's for the unity of the body. Nobody is more special than anybody else. I may be a little more mature at it. I may have studied more. I may have more experiential knowledge. I may have specific areas that the Lord has used me more. But we're all part of one body to glorify him, to do what needs to be done for the final harvest, for the return of the Lord. We have been baptized into a body. And he plunges us into that baptism, no matter who we are, where we are, Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We all drink of the same water of the Spirit. And it's not for self-exaltation, and it's not for rivalry, and it's not for specializing. It's totally for the Bible. Preaching, word spreading, power of the risen Lord. And everything is done in balance and for one purpose alone. I must have said that now so many times over the last couple of weeks. I hope you're getting it through repetition. For the building of the kingdom of God, the edification of the body, the unification of his church, for the promotion of the Great Commission. Order and decency, no confusion. No specializing, no superstars, no elevating people to points of places of prominence. There's only one person who can be lifted up. And the manifestation, the true manifestation, is under his control and our submission. And the one thing I've seen in this pendulum swing, and people reacting to it, and people writing blogs and attacking those of us that do certain things for the kingdom of God or are trying to fulfill the Great Commission. Heresy hunters, critics, people that serve no real purpose. They really don't. The Holy Spirit can keep order. He's pretty good at it. He's been doing it for a while, like since the beginning of time. But everything is done in decency and order. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. It's in 1 Corinthians 14. That's pretty amazing. As Paul begins to teach them about the gifts, he starts to harp on order and confusion. Now, how do you keep order? How do we do this? How do we, the church, the remnant, the people I'm speaking to, how do we take this power, this dunamis, this dynamite, how do we take this and go out and do what we're called to do and keep it in order? Because unless you've ever been in a war, unless you've ever been in a fight, it can get chaotic. It can get out of order. People can lose sight of where they are, who's around them. How do we do what we're called to do? How do we put up with some people that rub us wrong? And it will happen. Through the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, I've said the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit must work together. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, how does the enemy interfere with the use of the gifts to create the problems that we see today? Well, that was in Galatians 5, 20 and 21, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, divisions, a party spirit, a faction, sex with particular opinions or heresies, all the things that are what? The gifts of the flesh. Titus 1:8, be hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Matthew 11, 28 and 29, red letters, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 28, 29 rather, really hits it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, the Lord says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The Lord was patient with the disciples. He was patient with the sinners. The only people he criticized or railed against were the religious leaders that were supposed to know better and that were hurting his children. But what I'm sharing with you now, these spiritual guidelines, the way that we're going to do what he's called us to do, it applies to both our natural and our spiritual walk. Now, this may not be an exciting Bible study tonight. This may not be moving you in any way, but to go where we need to go, to go where I believe this remnant church, this end time force is going. There's got to be the gifts of the Spirit working with the fruit of the Spirit. There has to be humility. There's got to be love. There's got to be compassion. It can't be all about power and fighting the enemy and casting out demons and pulling down strongholds. All right, so you go into an area, you do all that. There's nobody there to hold it. There's nobody there to keep it. There's nobody there to teach the word. There's nobody there to fill these people that you've just cast demons out of with the word and with the Spirit. What you just did was created a vacuum, which the enemy will refill and make that area and that person seven times worse, perfectly worse. But if you have love and if you have compassion for them, you won't make that mistake. You won't leave them like that. You look at Luke 10:17-20, after the Lord sends them out and gives them all the power in heaven and earth, and to do the signs and tell the people the kingdom of heaven is at hand, they returned. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, this is new to them because only the itinerant exorcists that used the Kabbalah did that. This is unheard of. These are just everyday guys that he has transferred his power to, and they're excited. Demons are subject to them in his name. And what does he say? I saw Hasatan, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Self-interest and pride is of the flesh. I found something Oswald Chambers said that applied. He said, for a thing to be satanic does not mean that it is abominable and immoral. The satanically managed man is moral, upright, proud, and individual. And he is absolutely self-governed and has no need of God. Why does he want little children? Why does he want us to have the faith of a child? Little children, for the most part, will do what they're told. They know they need their parents' help and they want to please them. We can't become enamored about the sensational. However significant it may be, we need to set our mind on things above. We need to keep our eye on the prize and on him and on the goal. What is the goal? Get people saved, healed, and delivered. Make disciples of all men. So instead of focusing on salvation, everything I just said, everybody else is focusing on the supernatural, on the spectacular, on the show. They're focusing on the power gifts, but they're forgetting about the other gifts. They're forgetting about the fruit of the Spirit. And the one thing the Lord was concerned about, as he said to the disciples, don't glory in the fact that you that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven. That's the theme. That's the theme of the Gospels. That's the theme of the book of Acts. That's the theme of everything the disciples taught. And getting caught up in, oh, I'm a follower of Paul. I'm a follower of Apollos. Well, I study under this one, or I study that one. I go to this person's meeting. Big freaking deal. You know where that comes from? That is another influence of the Greek culture, that you achieved your stature by who you studied under. That's not how Messiah works. We never, should never, ever be proud about the human teacher we follow, because God is the real one that we should be, the Lord is the real one we should be following. He deserves all the honor. Envy and strife and divisions and the party mind spirit, all of that is the enemy. All of that is the flesh. Our most important position, our most important thing is we are brothers and sisters. We have been restored in right relationship to our Heavenly Father by the power of the cross, by the power of the blood. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit, the creative power of the universe given to us to do His bidding, to transform people from the inside out and to change the world. If we're going to walk in the Spirit and we're going to walk in this power, then these guidelines must be met before He will bestow the fullness of His power upon us. Father, I come to You in the name of Yeshua, and I come to You in the power and purity of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that You'd show each and every one of us areas that are out of order. I pray that You'd heal the areas that have been wounded, because some have tried to step out in faith. Some have tried to do what I've said tonight, but they've been chastised, they've been ridiculed, they've been criticized, they've been rejected. Heal them of those wounds. Show them that that was not You. Heal their hearts and their minds. But Holy Spirit, I'm asking for a quickening in our mortal bodies. I'm asking for a quickening in our minds, our souls, and our spirits. I'm asking You to fix what needs to be fixed and correct what needs to be corrected so that we can serve You, so that we can go and do and be a part of this great commission, the final harvest, and everything needed. We want to be useful to You. So I'm asking that You do that. I'm asking You meet each and every one of us right where we are and begin to show us and bestow upon us the gift and the talent that You want us to work on, to concentrate on, to pray about, to study. Help us know the Word. Help us to retain the Word. Help us to understand the Word. Right now, Lord, You're speaking to Your children. You're showing them places that You want them to be ready to go to once He says go. You're showing them areas that need healing, areas that need fixing. You're showing them things that they need to understand better, studying, prayer. You're softening their hearts. You're bathing them in the hot oil of the throne room. You're filling them with the gifts of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit are blossoming. And I thank You for that. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You not only give the gifts, not only explain all of this to us, but then You walk with us as we do them. We're never forsaken. We're never alone. And I thank You for that. And I pray all these things, in the name above all names, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. Take this to heart. Maybe you need to listen to it again. Maybe you need to take notes. But if you're going to walk where you want to walk, if you're going to do what you believe you're supposed to do, you're really going to need to understand what I shared tonight. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grunner. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.